Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Philadelphia 76ers and Phoenix Suns have now been listed as potential suitors for Andre Drummond. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to clear up some misconceptions about the Bulls salary cap situation and follow up on yesterday's breaking news video in regards to the Bulls possibly trading up for Donovan Clingan. All that plus the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host, Eric Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today. So, as we have now become accustomed to, almost every day now, new news is dropping in regards to a Bulls player, pending free agent, or something like that. And it seems like right now, the Philadelphia 76ers and Phoenix Suns are listed as the top suitors for Andre Drummond once he does hit unrestricted free agency, once free agency starts in July. And these are teams that are possibly going to offer Andre Drummond more than, the vet minimum that Andre Drummond's played on the last 3 or 4 years of his career, even before coming to the Chicago Bulls. Especially the 76ers are a big one to look out there for, because with Joel Embiid and his health and things like that, you know, having a backup center like Andre Drummond, who did play for them previously, somebody that they're familiar with, will really be big for that team. And the Phoenix Suns, they just need dogs, right? And they need to find quality players, that are willing to take a little bit less, considering their huge luxury tax bill they're going to have next year on that season. They've already locked in Grayson Allen for a pretty big contract extension. So if they can find value in a player like Andre Drummond, it does keep going on the fact that they don't care anything about the second tax apron. If that's the case, I believe they're already, just with the players that they're going to have on the roster, they're already $21 million above the second tax apron, which I actually think if they're in that 2 years in a row, this will be the first year of that, then they can't use their mid-level exception. So this is probably going to be the last time that they really try to take a big swing, adding some quality pieces to that team. And if they can add a player like a Andre Drummond to that team, especially where he can just kind of focus on what he does really well, it makes a lot of sense. So, especially when you pair that with the rumors of the Bulls, moving up to possibly draft a center in this draft, I think the kind of the writing's on the wall that Andre Drummond's gone. Unless the Bulls do something, crazy, and we'll clear up a little bit about the Bulls, their luxury tax situation, because there's some misconceptions there as far as how much spending power the Bulls actually do have. And I think because of the way maybe that I've talked about and other outlets have talked about it, it's kind of add this thing that it's like it's impossible for the Bulls to stay under the luxury tax. It's not. It's just they have to make some tough decisions. But we'll clear that up a little bit here in a second. But I don't expect Andre Drummond to have a limited amount of suitors if he hits the open market. I think that there are going to be a lot of teams interested in Andre Drummond. And I think that contributes as well to why there's not a huge, kind of chance that Andre Drummond returns to the Chicago Bulls. It's just, if you're just looking at the reality of it, it's really not. And maybe that's the best case, especially if the Bulls do find a young center. You want to find minutes for the guy. I know everybody kind of wants the Bulls to find a way to move off of, Nikola Vucevic, and they would rather them keep Drummond. And I understand that. It's just kind of more difficult to move off a player with a $20 million contract, again, unless the Bulls look to get kind of creative. And that may mean pairing him with Alex Caruso to get him out of there, pairing him with a future first to get him out of there. And that's where the Bulls, I think, are kind of looking at that situation, kind of trying to play the odds in that one. So, overall, do I expect Andre Drummond to return to the Chicago Bulls? If I'm being 100% honest, the answer is no, right? Just being 100% honest with you guys, I do not expect Andre Drummond to return to the Bulls. Now, that does not mean that that can't happen. The Bulls would have to make some changes to the roster, which we know the motive of this offseason has changed for the Bulls. So, depending on the number of change, but I don't know if maybe the Bulls make enough changes right away. Andre Drummond's probably one of the top two center free agents in this upcoming free agency. So he may be off the board fairly early. So, you know, that's kind of my expectations on that. But let me know what you guys think down below. As far as the Phoenix Suns, the 76ers being interested in, you know, moving for Andre Drummond, and maybe with the Suns and their luxury tax bill, you know, maybe a sign and trade possibility exists there. I don't really see any players on the Suns roster that I'd be hugely interested in either if it came down to that. But, you know, maybe you guys can think outside of the box and see something maybe that I don't see. So let me know your guys' thoughts on that down below. Now, talking about centers, one of the reasons why the Bulls may be moving on from Andre Drummond and letting him walk away for nothing, even though it's not all the way in their control, is that it came out yesterday that the Bulls are considering, are looking for, they're one of a few teams looking to trade up to possibly draft Donovan Clingan. Now, we talked a little bit about that quick, like 5-7 minute episode that we dropped yesterday in regards to that, you know, breaking news episodes, but kind of more has now come out of it, right? Kind of looking at the teams that it makes the most sense. And it looks like the Houston Rockets at number three are rumored as that trade partner because they are looking to move off that trade to get some kind of more proven talent in rather than keep going younger. And that's a Houston Rockets team that is trying to, you know, make their move, right? And so it seems like the Bulls, if it is a trade with the Houston Rockets at number three, the Houston Rockets are extremely interested in Alex Caruso. And so the question that people have asked themselves now is that would this be the Bulls trading their own 11th pick with Alex Caruso moving up, or would it be them possibly just getting Alex Caruso for the number three pick outright? Now, Elias Schuster over there at Bleacher Nation has this interesting article on this one in which he talked about, you know, could it be as simple as just trading Alex Caruso for a type three pick, and could the Bulls do better in the open market? And the thing of why that this could be something that the Bulls do end up just trading Alex Caruso for the number three pick is because of how down some GMs around the league are on the talent pool of this draft, which adds to why a lot of Bulls fans are asking, all right, why are you looking to move up in a draft that people kind of want to just get off their picks from? And so it comes down to the thing of if the Bulls do have multiple picks, right? And that's where kind of the thing with the Bulls, when you're going, you're not rebuild, because the Bulls aren't going for a rebuild, but having multiple picks is almost as important as where you draft at. And so if the Bulls were to have a number three and a number 11th pick in this draft, to me, that changes my view on it a little bit. Because, yeah, if you go Donovan Clingan, then maybe you go higher upside at Tijan Salloon or somebody. I'm just mentioning names. Manus Bousilis, as well as, you know, some of the options that have been listed there. High upside picks for the Bulls. And so getting multiple bites at the apple, even in a weaker draft, it gives you more opportunity for a player to kind of shock and awe, right? Is to grow beyond what you think. It'd be a really big swing as far as going younger if that were to be the Bulls. But in reading that article, it made me want to bring that aspect over here and talk about is that I know, you know, in the comment section of that breaking news video, a lot of Bulls fans were kind of up for it. Some Bulls fans were down. I'm of the mind that if the Bulls went out and got their guy, sometimes you have to make that. If you truly have a guy that you think is going to be the one that breaks out in this draft, and even though it's listed as a weaker draft, for example, Giannis Antetokounmpo came out of a weak draft. You just got to find your guy, and you got to hope that they're going to develop, right? Tyrese Haliburton came out of what was expected to be a weaker draft. That draft ended up being overall much better, you know, in reality than what it was projected to be. But still, there have been really good players to come out of drafts that have been expected to be weaker. Should the Bulls make that move, if it does, if all it takes is Alex Caruso to get that number three pick and then you hold on to your own number 11, does that do anything to change your mindset on the Bulls moving up in this draft? And per Elias, and even what he said in this article, and I kind of agree with it, is that I've said this, I think, on a previous episode, is that even if you move Alex Caruso for a protected first round pick next year and it ends up being in like between 18 and 22, that's like a top 10 pick in this draft. So, you know, kind of all pushing all chips in on the 2025 draft is kind of where a lot of fans and a lot of, you know, pundits as well, where the thinking is, and that makes a lot of sense. But let me know what you guys think on that. As far as if the Bulls were to move on from Alex Caruso to get that number three overall pick, if that's something that the Houston Rockets, who reportedly are very interested in Alex Caruso, if that's something that would happen, would you be interested in that? Let me know what you guys think on that down below. And then lastly, before we get into the mailbag portion of this episode, I want to clear up some misconceptions about the Bulls' luxury tax. Now, the Bulls theoretically are right up against the luxury tax, but I think I have probably, as somebody communicating and supposed to be giving you this information, I hold myself accountable. Maybe I have not communicated this well enough to where people kind of grasp the totality of it. The Bulls are only right up against the luxury tax if they're looking to keep DeMar DeRozan, Patrick Williams, and Zach LaVine. If you're moving on from one of those guys, let's say if DeMar DeRozan walks for nothing in free agency and you re-sign Patrick Williams, let's just say upwards of $15 million, the Bulls still have $25 million below the luxury tax to be flexible with. That means they can use their full mid-level exception at $12.9 million. That does mean that they can sign other players at the veteran minimum and still be below the luxury tax. The thing in talking about the Bulls being right up against that luxury tax is only if they're trying to keep all their pieces. If they were to move Zach LaVine, for example, in a deal where then you are only taking back a portion of their salary. For example, I'm just using them, the Orlando Magic. They have, upwards of $25 million in cap space. If they absorb $10 million of Zach LaVine's contract and only have to match the $30 million of that, that helps the Bulls stay below the luxury tax considerably. So the thing of the Bulls being right up against the luxury tax is only if they are trying to run the majority of this roster back. If they are taking a chance in letting DeMar walk or not re-signing Patrick Williams or trading Zach LaVine in a deal where you're only taking back about half his salary in the trade and the team is absorbing it, it actually frees up a considerable amount of cap space for the Bulls to use their full mid-level exception and even sign some players at the vet minimum. So I wanted to talk about that because I see a lot of Bulls fans communicate that, oh, the Bulls have no money. They have no money. They have no money. Well, they have no money depending on what they do with some of the pieces that are already on their roster. If they are willing to truly double down onto change, they could actually be pretty flexible in the free agent market. Again, mid-level exceptions, veteran minimums, they won't have true cap space. That's just $41 million below the luxury tax. So there's a little bit of separation that could be created there. And I just wanted to kind of do a better job, if I haven't done a good enough job at it, explaining that to you guys. You know, number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls. So I have to be better at that. So let me know what you guys think on that one down below. And if that's kind of changed your kind of thought process on the Bulls offseason at all. But with that said, it is Saturday. So that means it is mailbag day. We're going to go ahead and get into these voicemails. This first voicemail, this one's from Todd.
Hey, what up, man? It's Todd. Leaving a message after your Tuesday show. I'm kind of combining two things you talked about. Brandon Ingram trade, which I do love, and the question that you posed to us about, do we go high upside or do we go NBA ready? And I'm going to go ahead and definitively say high upside. And you already know why. Because, again, and I'm going to beat this down every time we talk, that we need to be focused on 2025. Again, and I'm specifically now saying Ace Bailey. I love Cooper Flagg, and if we can luck up and get him too, I mean, get him, great. But Ace Bailey is my guy right now in that draft. And what I'm saying is high upside. Khalil Ware specifically for me would be perfect because I think you need a year for him to bake in the NBA, get his legs ready. Obviously, Vooch is still going to be there, unfortunately, but it is what it is. Now, if we can trade, this is where I combine in the two kind of subject. If we can get that trade off with B.I. for Zach and get that one-year deal, unfortunately, we kind of know B.I. is only going to give us maybe 60 games. And if you look at his injury, he's prone toward the end of the season. So typically, he'll fall off in injuries toward the end of the season. So as such, that might set us up perfectly for AK to be competitive, but yet us not win enough to not lose that top 10 protected pick. So if we can pull both of those off and then maybe package up, like you said, Zach with the Pat or Zach with the Caruso and get whatever picks that New Orleans has, oh, man, we're cooking. We're absolutely cooking. So, yeah, that show, bruh, you just got my mind wheels rolling, bro, because absolutely. But everything we do should be focused on 2025, man. Tell me what you think. Talk to him.
Yeah, I understand that you're all on the 2025 draft, and it's not a bad mindset set to have at all. I want to be clear there. And I think that going high upside in the 2024 draft is kind of the best bet regardless, because when you're looking at a draft that's labeled as weaker, you kind of want to bet on that, or you want to bet on high floor, right? And so that is something else that the Bulls could look at, is either high potential or high floor, to where you know, hey, at the minimum, this guy's probably going to be this over the course of his NBA career, or you're going to go that total high upside. The one problem is that the Bulls have gone high upside in the last few drafts, and maybe, just maybe, they want to do a little something different. I don't know. You know, you're hearing things all over the place, but I do think that focus on the 2025 draft is not a bad focus to have. But again, everything isn't going to, like, even the trade for Brandon Ingram and things like that, and you saying, well, you know, we got to bet on Brandon Ingram, and then his...
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Injury history is going to die off at the end. Like, first things first, let me ask you this. When has anything ever worked out in favor for the Chicago Bulls? Would our luck, just like with like Nick Lamiritich going off that one year that we would have had, or it was the Luka Doncic pick, where had Mirotić not went off like he did towards the end of the season, we probably would have had a chance at like a top five pick, right? Or top three pick, and we end up being what we ended up being. So it's like, it's just, things don't work out that way for the Bulls, and if you try to play that averages, it may not work out for you. You just got to double down on whatever your focus is. And trading for Brandon Ingram, look, hoping that his injury history is going to help die off in the competitiveness isn't the thing. It's more so the salary cap flexibility that gets you back to earlier, things like that. But I do agree, the 2025 draft should probably be the focus there. We'll see what happens there, Todd. Thank you for leaving that voicemail. Let's get into this next one. This one's from Vaughn.
What's up, Hayes? This is Vaughn. So I've been trying to, you know, think of, I guess, ways that the Bulls can build out themselves a nine-man rotation for next season. I know Lonzo Ball is really working to come back and stuff like that. So, you know, outside of, you know, me wanting the Bulls to find them a more defensive-minded center and get off of Vooch, and then obviously, you know, this idea is assuming that they get off of Zach LaVine. I was just wondering that maybe I think that trading someone like Alex Caruso could really open up some time for development of other young players that they might value. So someone like a Dalen Terry, someone like a Julian Phillips, I think they should really look to try to open up some minutes for them. So I think the importance of trading someone like Alex Caruso, maybe to get back to first, maybe get another first in this draft or something, draft, you know, a big and, you know, a power or a small forward like a Tijane Salloon would be beneficial to them. So I guess my idea really is letting Lonzo Ball run like a 10th man kind of deal. You know, he's here for spot minutes, and then giving someone like Dalen Terry an opportunity as like a 9th man in the rotation, try to solidify his role on this team. I think he does really good at running the point a lot, you know, even if you run him at small forward, and then you can swap someone like Kobe and Io. I think using Kobe and Io as like a duo point guard type of thing, like they both start, but then, you know, when one's off, one's on type of thing for the bench unit, to run the bench unit, I think that would be very beneficial for them. And then it would also allow Billy Donovan to run more forwards in his lineup. So let me know what you think about that. But that's like the one thing that I think would be super important for this team, to try to just improve the size of their lineup and then also play faster. But let me know what you think about that. All right, peace.
Trading Caruso to open up minutes for the young guys is something, right? And I think that we've talked about that here before, is that it's not necessarily tanking, right? You're hoping that if you open up minutes for these young guys, they play great. And then you're looking at it and saying, hey, we got us one. We got us two, right? And if you end up missing out on the top 10 pick by doing that, then, hey, you're looking at your guys have stepped up, and then, okay, this is what we have now here. Now, the thing is that to me, it's way too early to try to figure out a rotation. I get it. You're saying you're trying to figure out a 9-10-man rotation. I'm not even going to get into that conversation yet, because we just don't know what this team's going to look like. We just don't know yet. So, you know, depending on what they do in the draft, depending on what they do with a Caruso, with a Zach LaVine trade and things like that, that'll, of course, help clear that up. But right now, it's too early for me, in the way that my brain works, to worry about a 9 or 10 man rotation. I commend you for doing it. It's not that I disagree with what you came up with. It's just I'm way too literal sometimes, and my brain doesn't always work that way. I do like the fact of looking at improving size and playing faster as a concept, especially for this Bulls team that has had more success when they play a little bit faster with a quicker pace. So I think that is a great route to go as far as how you're looking at constructing the roster and the rotation, that if you can play faster naturally, get better defensively, while on top of that getting some better size, those things do help the Bulls tremendously. I do feel that. So, you know, great, great thought process there. Vaughn's always great with his thought process. It's just you're thinking way too. We're still at stage A. Vaughn's at stage D right now, trying to figure out rotations. That's next level thinking for Vaughn. Shout out to Vaughn there, man. All right, let's go ahead and get into this next voicemail. This one's from Reginald.
Hey, this is Reginald from Georgia. I would just like to spend a minute talking about the idea of landing on the Bulls. And I got to tell you, I'm not really feeling that idea. Not because I don't think Brandon is a good player. I just think he's not as good as he hoped he'd be. When I watched him, I mean, how many times did I see him go for intermittent 5 or 6 turnovers, or how many times was his defense either non-existent or just woefully underwhelming? And even then, the thing that gets me the most is his free throw shooting. And I know that doesn't get a whole lot of attention nowadays, but it was because I saw him in games where they needed those free throws. They needed him to be clutch, and he'll miss 1 out of 2 or both of them, and that'll put that team in a bind. No, I just don't think Brandon Ingram has that clutch performance in him. I think on a good team, he's the number 3 option. On a great team, he's the number 4 option. He shouldn't be the ball handler, and he should never want to be first, second, or maybe even third offensive option on an opposing team. And so trading for Brandon Ingram just wasn't making sense. At this point in time, I'd wait to move off of that. So even though there's no good deal that you could get for him in the offseason, you know, eventually someone who had a big expectation in free agency, someone's going to refuse to sign with a team and they're going to be disappointed or someone's going to get hurt. I wouldn't risk that on nobody, but it happens every year. So for right now, the best thing the Bulls could do is just literally sit back and wait. Which is what AK is doing now. So that's my opinion. What do you think?
Okay, so Reginald, let me clear this up. Every trade that you make isn't about making somebody the number 1 option. You say that Brandon Ingram at best is the number 3. That's great. We're not even necessarily looking for Brandon Ingram, if that trade were to go down, to be the focal point. You're looking at bringing in somebody who brings a more modern type play style that can probably move to that 3 or that 4 position, that ups your shooting profile from the 3 naturally by the 3s that he's taken. Yes, he's a limited player. The fact of the matter is, nobody's going to be perfect. And even you saying that, like, a bunch of games, like, he had 9 games last season with 5 or more turnovers. Yeah, that's not great, right? And let me be clear there, but it's not horrible either. And so even if you're looking at replacing him for Zach LaVine, you got to look at the other benefits. It's not just Bulls fans. Let's get this together. I get it that in the perfect world, you're looking at trading your player and getting a player of equal or at least value back. That's not reality. You got to play. It's a thing called trade value, and that's one of the things right now that the Bulls have hurt themselves on. For example, you said wait, and the thing is, waiting could absolutely hurt the Zach LaVine's trade value, and then the Bulls get even less on the market, and that's something that we've seen happen for the Bulls multiple times over this front office. Is this front office waits too long, and then by the time they try to bite, the value has gone in the toilet. So I think at this point, we got to understand that the Bulls, partially of why they're looking to move Zach LaVine now, is because they don't want that value to tank even lower. Could it go higher? Yeah, there's a chance of that. I don't want to act like there's not, but there's also a chance with Zach LaVine's injury history that it could go worse. It just is. And so that plays a part into why the Bulls are looking to move it in. You're not, like, the cap flexibility that you're getting back 2 less years on Brandon Ingram's deal than Zach LaVine's deal. That gets you back at being a player and more flexibility. Yeah, the Bulls aren't going to be this free agent destination. We've never really been that. That's probably not going to happen for this team. But on top of that, the cap flexibility is something that this team is looking at, and we got to take that into consideration as well. You're not going to find a perfect trade for Zach LaVine, and if you wait on a perfect trade, you may not find one at all, and that's the risk that this front office is taking in what they're doing with Zach. Am I saying that I agree with it? Am I saying that's the way I would have went about it? I mean, no, but you still got to look at the realities of the situation, I think, Reginald. But I understand your thought process on that completely. All right, let's get into the last voicemail. This one is from Oscar.
Hey, it's Oscar. Man, I'm finally caught up on all the episodes. 2 callers I want to respond to. One was the guy, he spoke about Jerry Reinsdorf not giving a shit about the team. Bro, towards the end of the guard packs era, when seats were empty at the United and he was losing out on money, that's the only thing that got him paying attention to the team and wanting to fix the team. That's the only thing that got Garpax fired, was because the seats were empty at the stadium, at the arena, and he can't stand to lose money. So That's one thing. As soon as he saw that they made that first year with Lonzo and all these guys, for number one seed, we started. As soon as he saw he had us back on, put the team back on cruise control because he knew he had us where he wanted us. And another thing with my fellow Bulls fans, I love the team. I've been up and down with the team in the good times and the bad times. But we gotta let go of like trying to hold on to players for like I feel like we're always trying to dig through the trash and bring back something they worked before. Like, I don't know how long we got. So up to last year, guys are still asking about, oh, let's bring back D Rose and let's bring back Taj. You know, come on, man. Like, let's move on. I'm at a point with the Bulls, man, that if you told me next year that we were going to trade Alex Caruso and we were going to trade Zach, and my starting lineup next year was some combination of Io, Kobe, maybe Patrick if on the right deal, and two, you know, Vooch and maybe a rookie, and then with some and the guys that we have on our bench, getting them an opportunity to get out there, bro. I'll take that, man. I just feel like we need to get back to like guys that want to play ball, man. Guys that are that love the game of basketball, and like let's stop trying to. It's not gonna be a quick fix. Let's get these guys out there. Let's see what they got, man, and let's go from there. Stop trying to fill your heads with, oh, we're gonna just find this magic potion and we'll be good. That's not going to happen, man. But once again, thanks for the time. Thanks for the work you put in, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Oscar, I got to correct you on something. So, yes, while attendance did dip, it was never completely empty. We got to stop exaggerating. That's not why Garpax was removed. Let's keep in mind that despite the billboard, despite attendance dropping, despite all those things, ownership was going to keep Garpax. It took for John Paxton to go to Jerry Reinsdorf and say, Jerry, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get us out of where we are. And then they decided to move on. John Paxton is still getting a check from the Chicago. He's still on staff as an advisor. So I just got to correct you on that. It's not to be an asshole. But no, the Garpax was not removed because the UC was empty. They were removed because John Paxton went to ownership and said, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And then on top of that, let's be clear about this ownership group. This ownership group that saw Jim Boylan completely tank and kill the confidence of several of the young players. When AK and Eversley came on, Jerry Reinsdorf went to AK and said, I really would like you to keep Jim Boylan on. And AK looked at it and said, no, we good. So that's the type of ownership group that we have. The seats, the attendance dipping in the UC because the Bulls do have one of the largest stadiums in the NBA. They were still tops in attendance. We fell out of the top five of attendance, maybe the top 10 of attendance once. And that coincided with Paxton also going to ownership and saying, I don't know what I'm doing here. But no, it did not. Like, the billboard didn't do shit. For Bulls fans to feel empowered by that billboard, it didn't do shit. The attendance dropping didn't do shit, right? That did not, change did not come about because of those things. It came about because actually some self-evaluation from John Paxton led us here. And if it didn't, we'd still be with that front office and probably Jim Boylan would have probably been the coach for another 2 years, right? So that's something you got to look at. But I do agree with your mindset on there is not a quick fix. And Bulls fans are trying to look for a quick fix to this, even in the deals and hearing, oh, well, why are we moving this? If we're not getting such and such back, we shouldn't even look at this deal. You're not getting a quick fix for this scenario. The Bulls, one of two things are going to happen here. Either the Bulls are going to get lucky, which a player that they draft in either this draft, next year's draft, is going to turn into a true star, which is going to make everybody else on this roster look better. Or we're going to have to eat our food for a while, and the Bulls are going to be hovering around this play-in, playoff spot for 2 or 3 years before they get lucky again. So it's not a quick fix. Or even if you trade things, it's not going to be this trade that the Bulls get all of a sudden that, boom, we're now off to the races off one trade. This is going to be a 2 to 3 year process if AK and Eversley are as focused on change as what they say they are. That's still going to be that process before the Bulls are consistently a playoff team, consistently competing. That's what we're looking for, and even longer possibly, before we're a championship contender. There's no quick fix. All these Bulls fans looking for, you know, somebody said we need a trade for Alperen Sengun. In what world are the Houston Rockets giving up Sengun? Come on. Let's be smart here, people. Yes, we are Bulls fans first, but let's be smart in the way that this thing is going to go. It's not going to be a quick fix. We're going to be in this shit for a minute, unfortunately, and that's just the realities of it. But great voicemail from Oscar. Great voicemail from everybody today, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are locked in with us at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail, like you heard on today's episode, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.